Welcome to another episode of Jamaican Gangster. On today's episode, we're featuring Andrew Hope, the man Spanish Town knew as Bun Man. If you're not following us, we would be honored if you would consider doing so. It costs you nothing to hit that button so that you'll be notified every time we release a new episode. Now, let's get into it. The courthouse was burning. By mid-morning on February 7th, 2006, thick black smoke was climbing above the rooftops of Spanish Town, the oldest settlement on the island of Jamaica, a city that had once been the colonial capital of the entire British West Indies. The smoke was not coming from a battlefield. It was coming from the parish courthouse, the building that was supposed to represent the authority of the state. Gang members had set it on fire. The fire brigade had arrived and been turned back. The crew was not allowed near the building. By the time the flames finished, the courthouse was gone. All of it. The fire, the road blockades, the shot-up storefronts, the police forced into defensive positions, had one source. A man had been killed that morning on Ellis Street, and the city was making sure the world knew what that man had meant. The question that sits underneath everything that happened that day is a simple one. Why does a man's death turn a city into an inferno? Why does a gang get buried in a cemetery that has been closed for 20 years? Why do schools shut their gates before midday because the funeral is too dangerous to ignore? The answer is not just about violence. It is about what happens when one man fills every vacuum that a government leaves behind, and what happens to the people who need him when he is gone. To understand Andrew Hope, you have to understand Spanish Town. The city sits in St. Catherine Parish, west of Kingston, roughly 14 miles from the capital. It was the seat of colonial government for nearly 300 years, the place where governors issued orders and merchants built fortunes. By the second half of the 20th century, it had become something else entirely. A post-industrial Jamaican city with high unemployment, crumbling infrastructure, and a political system that had learned to funnel loyalty through armed men rather than social investment. Spanish Town was divided, not officially, not on any map, but in the streets, everyone knew the line. On one side operated the Klansman Gang, known in some documents as the Klansman Gang, considered an ally of the People's National Party. On the other side operated the One Order Gang, based out of the Talls Pen community and aligned with the Jamaica Labor Party. The Jamaica Gleaner and the Jamaica Observer both confirmed this alignment in named original reporting. The rivalry between the two organizations had been burning for years before Bunman Hope came to power, and it would keep burning long after he was gone. Its currency was the extortion racket, the systematic collection of payments from businesses and contractors and market traders throughout Spanish Town. Whoever controlled that racket controlled the economy of the streets. The two gangs had turned that competition into one of the bloodiest sustained conflicts in Jamaican criminal history. Before Bunman Hope led One Order, the seat belonged to Oliver Smith, known as Bubba. Bubba Smith ran One Order through the years, when the extortion war with the Klansman Gang was intensifying, and Spanish Town's murder rate was tracking with the national crisis. In July 2004, Bubba Smith was shot and killed by gunmen on Festival Road in St. Andrew. He was shot in the head with a high-powered rifle. It was a precise, targeted killing, the kind that carries a message. The seat passed to Andrew Hope. Hope had been one of Bubba Smith's most trusted lieutenants. The Jamaica Observer confirmed this directly in named reporting. He was in his mid-20s when he moved into the leadership position, and he moved into it in the middle of a war that had no formal rules and no neutral ground. Spanish Town, in the years following Bubba's death, was not a place where a new don could take his time building a reputation. The pressure was immediate and constant. By early 2006, Hope was 27 years old, and he was willing to be found. In January of that year, a correspondent from the Los Angeles Times tracked him down in Spanish Town and conducted what the paper described as a rare interview. Hope sat in the back of a car parked outside his home. He described without particular hesitation how his gang controlled its half of the territory. Police, he acknowledged in that conversation, considered him an extortionist. He did not deny it. He described it as the life that existed there. That interview, published in January 2006, was one of the last times Andrew Hope spoke on the record to anyone from outside the world he lived in. Within weeks of its publication, he was dead. There had been a warning. The Jamaica Observer reported in its named coverage of Hope's killing that months before February 7th, he had survived an ambush. Gunmen had opened fire on a vehicle in which Hope was traveling after attending a peace meeting. The detail that the record confirms is that a well-known politician was also in that vehicle at the time. A man identified only as Tikaris, one of Hope's associates, was killed in the attack. Hope walked away. The question of why a gang leader and a politician were in the same car, traveling together after a peace meeting, was one that certain people in Jamaica's political establishment very much did not want, asked loudly. A United States diplomatic cable sent from the Kingston Embassy on February 15, 2006, and later made public through the WikiLeaks archive, was titled with notable directness, "Murder of Spanish Town Criminal Leader," again calls attention to his links to JLPMP. The word "again" in that title was doing a great deal of work. On the morning of February 7th, Andrew Hope drove a silver Honda Civic through the streets of Spanish Town. He was on Ellis Street, near the Spanish Town High School, when the gunmen reached him. They were dressed in khaki. The Jamaica Observer reported this detail in its named coverage of the killing. They fired. Hope was found slumped over the steering wheel. He was dead at the scene. Word moved through Spanish Town faster than any official notification could travel. A rumor spread almost immediately that a police officer was responsible for the shooting. The Jamaica Observer's first-person account from a police officer who responded to the scene confirmed that this rumor was already circulating as the security forces arrived. The officer noted that by the time the true story began to emerge and blame shifted toward rival gang members, the courthouse was already burning and several police officers had already been injured by stone-throwing crowds. The fire brigade came. Gang members turned them away. The building that represented the Jamaican legal system in St. Catherine Parish burned until it was structurally gone. Roads across Spanish Town were sealed. Businesses pulled down their shutters under pressure. The streets belonged to the people who were furious. And furious people in a garrison town do not observe traffic patterns. And then the burial. Andrew Hope, alias Bunman, was buried on February 8, 2006. The Jamaica Observer reported this in its named March coverage, documenting a detail that had no precedent in recent memory. He was buried in Spanish Town's No. 5 cemetery. No. 5 had been closed to new burials for 20 years. No one had been interred there in 2 decades. The cemetery was opened specifically for him. Schools in Spanish Town closed early on the day of the funeral because the security situation around the burial made normal operations impossible. What the Jamaica Observer's coverage of the funeral and its aftermath made clear was that this was not simply a gang sending off its leader. This was a community performing grief on a scale that the state could not ignore and could not control. Thousands came. The ceremony carried the weight of a state funeral for a man the state had never acknowledged. The cemetery gates had been closed for 20 years, and they opened for Bunman Hope. The question planted at the beginning, the one about why a man's death could burn a courthouse and reopen a graveyard, was answered not in any speech or official statement. It was answered in the size of the crowd and the silence of the institutions around them. After the burial, the succession question inside one order was immediate. The Jamaica Observer confirmed that Hope's younger brother, Rohan Hope, known as Placa, stepped into the leadership role. Placa's tenure lasted until law enforcement, in a joint operation with United States counterparts, built a case that resulted in his conviction, along with 2 other top-tier One Order members, through the Counterterrorism and Organized Crime Branch. The cycle that Bunman Hope had lived inside continued without him. Spanish Town did not become peaceful after February 7th. The One Order versus Klansmen war continued through the years that followed, its leadership changing repeatedly on both sides as killings and arrests and convictions rotated new names into old seats. The Jamaica Gleaner reported in original coverage that One Order remained a major criminal organization with JLP alignment. The extortion racket, the one that Bunman Hope had described so plainly to a foreign newspaper reporter just weeks before his death, kept running. Different hands, same machinery. What Andrew Hope left behind was not peace and not stability. What he left behind was a demonstration of how deeply a Garrison Don had embedded himself into the functioning of a community. So deeply that his removal created more disorder than his presence ever had. The courthouse that burned on February 7, 2006, has never been forgotten in Spanish Town. The number 5 cemetery that opened its gates for one man and then closed again is still there. Andrew Hope was 27 years old. He gave one interview. He survived one ambush. He did not survive the second. That was the story of Andrew Hope, gunman, the one order leader who ruled Spanish Town's deadliest corridor and whose death left a city on fire and a closed cemetery open for exactly one day. If this episode moved you, if it taught you something, if it kept you up, share it. Follow us if you haven't already. And stay close, because on the next episode of Jamaican Gangster, we are going somewhere you are not ready for.